This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark and Wong Shanning. It's 6 o'clock in the morning, Monday the 23rd of March. And most importantly, it is day 6 of the movement control order. So we've just had our first weekend under this MCO. Shanning, how did you weather it?
I just stayed at home and I did all the spring cleaning I was supposed to do all these years.
I know all the things that you kind of shove aside because you have no time. You know, you're going to work, you're going to do this, and you've got so many other demands on your time. Suddenly, they're all gone.
Yeah, so actually, it's quite good. I mean, I like that, you know, society, or at least we have come up with ways to kind of keep going. So normally, I attend church on Sunday, but church was on Facebook Live.
So that's Yes, I saw.
So that's very interesting. This is one way where, as you know, as a community, we can still keep in touch, but in a modern way. So
I know.
Voila.
I have friends who were Insta storying the service on Sunday and taking communion in their own homes, kind of sitting in front of the Facebook Live, which was I thought was a really interesting way of going about it.
It's going around the world. Everybody's doing it. I mean, whether you're Buddhist, Muslim, or Christian, I think there are different ways to stay in touch and kind of keep the congregation going and praying as one. I mean, if anything, maybe now is the time to be more spiritual also.
Yeah, and so, you know, we're about halfway through this movement control order now, since it has been announced, well, since it was announced to end on the 31st of March. One of the things we're going to be looking at today in this next half hour is how you've been managing so far, not just you in your own homes, but also a businessman.
Yeah, you know, because necessity is the mother of all inventions, you know. And, you know, I really am impressed with how we're coming up with new ways, like I say, church, but also businesses to kind of keep going, because after all, life goes on.
Absolutely. And today is also World Water Day, because nothing is more important now during this time of COVID-19, because the emphasis is on washing your hands. So we're going to be taking a look at water infrastructure and whether or not that's a greater risk to us than this coronavirus in recent times. And that's going to be happening after the 6:30 news. Now, if you want to weigh in on our conversations, remember you can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Next up, some MCO coping mechanisms. So stay tuned, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Don't Go Away by Oasis, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn and Shanning. Now, this morning, first of all, we're taking a look at some coping mechanisms that people have come up with to weather this movement control order, because, of course, we did go through our very first weekend. I think it won't be the first time people are staying home with almost nothing to do, for those of us, I think, whose businesses have been completely shut down. But because we're essential services, we were still working throughout the working week. And so this Saturday and Sunday for me was the first time being completely at loose ends since the MCO started. And I found myself sewing, actually, a lot more. So that has so far appeared to be my coping mechanism. Shanning, you said yours was cleaning, right? No baking?
No, because, because more baking means more cleaning. So hence no baking, because I don't want to spend too much time cleaning. I've gone back to reading, which is good, because I have honestly a pile of books beside my bed, which I always, you know, have the best intentions to read, but never find the time. Even old copies of The Economist have been dragged out. Mm. So I'm going to go through them one by one. I think I'm going to find some joy in that. I have
to admit,
I watched a bit of Netflix.
Oh yeah, I've watched so much.
But
Netflix,
I try not to
weekend,
because I think otherwise I'll just be staring at one screen after another screen. Because I'm still, you know, trying to do work, hence looking at all the websites for news and also getting on with all the prep work we need to do with the shows. So I try to do some other things other than just look at a computer all day, because I swear my eyes are going to go square very soon.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time watching Netflix, because I had my Netflix propped up kind of on my desk while in front of my sewing machine. So I was actually really productive aside from the Netflix. I finished a pair of overalls and I finished a blouse.
Wow, you'll have a new wardrobe.
I will have a new wardrobe by the end of the MCO. And we have already had some responses in from social media, and I do believe these are from our producers. Roshan says, I finally went back to the world of Xbox online gaming after a year played Star Wars Battlefront 2 with friends online and spent time on Google Hangouts with family and friends across the globe. And yeah, I think that's the other thing, right? Because I did a WhatsApp video call with a bunch of friends on Saturday night for the first time since, I think, second year of university when I was away and not in the country. And it was actually really nice. I kind of wondered why I don't do it more.
Yeah, and also, you know, this COVID-19 kind of also inspired me, or at least I thought about all my friends around the world, which I haven't been communicating with because I'm just way too busy. But I spent like just 10 minutes, half an hour, WhatsApping all of them around the world. And it was just a one-liner, you know, thinking of you during these difficult times, how are you coping? You're in my thoughts. You know, it was something very simple and I sent it around the world and I got responses immediately. And it reminded me, we are not in this alone. We're in it together. Right. And that makes a big difference.
Yeah. And it's a situation that everyone around the world is facing. We had calls from friends in the UK, in the US, just for a 15-minute chat. How are you doing? You know, what's it like in Malaysia? You know, how are you guys all staying safe? I hope you guys are keeping to yourselves. And it was just really nice to be able to get in touch with them after all this time. And yeah, I guess to share that kind of commiseration, right?
Yeah, we are not alone. Never. Mm-hmm. And I think if anything, I hope this brings out the best in humanity. Sometimes we need a reset in terms of what our priorities are in life.
I think so. Now, of course, we have had some other messages. Shazana says during this weekend, she played this super addictive game called Mini Metro because she got to design the train systems of various cities. she also says she's a really lousy transport planner.
You know, the other thing, you know, this article that you highlighted, right, which is about people in Ipoh, it's in the Star. Is it in the Star? Yes. One of the things they did, which I also did, sorry, it's not in the Star, it's in a Malay Mail, which I also did, was to exercise. How do you exercise when you're in the house? And you all know that I run like crazy, right? Mm-hmm. So this is the one thing I do miss. I do miss being outside, but I think, how best can I compensate? And guess what? There's a world of YouTube videos out there you can follow. All for free. And, you know, anything you like, yoga, HIIT training, Zumba, aerobics, you name it, they have it.
And actually, so some gyms have also started doing online classes as well. So, you know, everyone congregates on a Google Hangouts, for example.
Or Zoom.
And you do your workout as you would in a studio, but you're in the comfort of your own home. So people have been very imaginative and innovative. And I guess it's like you said earlier, right? Necessity is the mother of invention. We can't leave our homes. So we find ways to continue as we would anyway.
Yeah, I think that's very important. Get a schedule going. Even the Ministry of Health has come out with these eating guidelines. Have you seen it? I think
I've not. What eating guidelines are these?
There was in a paper. It was in a website or it was a Twitter. Because basically, I guess some people are developing. I guess even I am a little bit of a bad habit where you've got nothing to do, so you binge eat or you eat a lot of junk food. So the Ministry of Health is saying that you should eat 3 regular meals. Be careful with what you eat. Don't overeat because let's face it, we aren't exactly moving too much. Mm-hmm. So you maybe don't need as many calories. And when you sit in front of the TV, you know, that packet of snacks is usually your companion. Put it away.
Absolutely. Now we're heading into some messages. And then after that, we'll be taking a look at some other innovative measures that have been put in place by businessmen and traders in order to keep their livelihoods during this movement control order. So be sure to stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Me and Michael by MGMT. And you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn and Xiaoning. Now we've been talking about some coping mechanisms that people have come up with during this movement control order. But it's not just on an individual basis that we're seeing some new innovative habits being practiced. Even the businessmen and traders of Malaysia are also jumping on this innovative bandwagon because some of them, for a lot of them, you know, they've been hit quite hard by the fact that the MCO requires businesses to close by 7 p.m. and if you are not an essential service, you're not allowed to open. Night markets have been shut, so the traders who operated at night markets have nowhere to ply their trade. So a lot of them have turned to social media.
Yeah, even the hawkers, let's say your satay guy, right? He can't operate a stall anymore. So what's he supposed to do? And he needs to make a livelihood, mm-hmm. right? I mean, he needs to make some money and he probably has stock he has to clear also. So this Malay Mail article features a few of these people who I would say are very clever and have taken to Twitter, Facebook to actually sell their wares. And yes, I've seen a lot of it and kudos to them because life has to go on. You still need to make some money, pay your mm-hmm. bills. That has to continue. And yes, there is some relief coming from the government. You know, you get some allowance. And I think even the banks are relooking at some of your loan commitments if you're affected by this. But you still need some money to come in, right? Otherwise, how do you survive? So kudos to them, especially I think these farmers and hawkers, very clever, because we do need these fresh produce. Mm-hmm. And apparently, I looked at another Malaysian Insight article over the weekend, and you know, there is a kind of a roadblock because there are people who need fresh produce, but also because people at this time are just buying more dried goods, tin food, you know, they're not so much looking at fresh food. So how do these farmers also offload their items? Because you can't keep these vegetables or fruits, right? They all deteriorate, they all go off. So it's a good way if you can kind of sell your wares, but how do you do it? So necessity is the mother of all invention, right? Hence mm-hmm. the internet. And I've been receiving some. I got this form from this farmer, and he's like, okay, if you want to order any of these items, just tick it and send it, and we're going around doing deliveries in certain locations, which makes a lot of sense. And, you know, everything is done online, so there's no interaction whatsoever. He just literally leaves it outside your gate, and then you go and pick it up. You know, whatever you need. And yeah. that's a really good idea.
Yeah. And so I've seen, I think I saw some of these starting to crop up even before the MCO. And they've just come up more in full force. A few months ago, I think my family discovered a fish auction that happened on Facebook Live.
The fish auction itself was amusing. Have you seen it?
Yes, I've seen it. And it's really entertaining.
Yes.
And the fish arrives, if you buy the fish, it arrives shrink-wrapped, you know, in the post, and you've got a whole fish to cook at home. And so now, apparently, there have been ones that have cropped up that are selling crabs, they're selling prawns, that are selling all these kinds of things. So I'm honestly quite impressed by their initiative. But I guess, you know, how long also can this last? And my curiosity is, once this movement control order ends, will people just go back to the normal way of doing things? Or will social media have become so ingrained that they perhaps choose to use this kind of, what the marketing folks like to call the omni-channel strategy?
I think these omni-channel strategies will definitely be there. I mean, I don't want to bring up another incident, but SARS. SARS was actually the beginning of video conferencing because people mm-hmm. in Asia didn't travel, right? And then they got to video conferencing as a solution. And video conferencing has always been around since then. And I think now it's even used even more. I mean, Zoom, Google Hangouts, you name it, people have it, right? So, you know, some of these, you know, innovative guys in the market, how they sell their wares, I think they will survive. In fact, they will thrive. Not all will survive, just like any business. But some, I think, will go on to getting bigger and bigger because we will also get used to it.
Yeah.
And we will enjoy the convenience of it, that with a click of a button, you can get your stuff delivered.
Yeah, there's this one particular cafe. I'm not going to name names because I feel a little bit bad for them. They opened, I think, 2-3 days before the MCO was put in place. And I remember walking past their storefront a day before the MCO was supposed to go into effect. And I saw all the flowers and the bouquets and the congratulations, you know, on your opening. And I thought, oh my God, you guys had terrible timing. And they've subsequently popped up on my social media feed, actually, saying, you know, hey, if you want to order our product, you know, here's how you do it. You can direct message us on Instagram and we'll sort out delivery for you. And I'm like, okay, you know, you guys are trying to keep yourself afloat and all power to you. But it's going to be tough, especially if this MCO is extended, which is, I think, what a lot of people are now concerned about.
Yeah, but, you know, necessity is the mother of all invention. So businesses, kudos to you to keep things going. And honestly, good luck. We all need it.
Absolutely, we do. Now, right now, though, we're about to head into the 6:30 news bulletin. And after that, we're taking a look at water infrastructure in light of World Water Day, which was yesterday. But first, here is Al Green with I'm Still In Love With You, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, today we are celebrating World Water Day, which was yesterday. And The Guardian has a good, a very interesting look at the UN Water Report, which was released recently, which says that poor water infrastructure is almost a greater risk to us than this coronavirus, because more than half the global population lacks access to safe and clean water. So if you imagine, you know, the biggest advisory for during this outbreak is to wash your hands regularly with soap and clean water. If you don't have access to clean water, then what do you do?
Yeah, well, that's the really mm-hmm. scary thought, right? And I think some of the areas which are impacted, obviously, Africa and parts of Asia, mm-hmm. where water resources are actually very poorly developed. So this UN Water World Development Report, which was published yesterday, pointed to the underfunding of water infrastructure around the world, despite this importance. And I think their editor told The Observer, which is part of the Guardian's weekend paper, that somehow water is always seemed to be overlooked for spending and investment because, you know, people don't see the economic benefits of it. They don't understand the importance of even that and sanitation.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's like you said, right? You know, it's there are broadly two categories of water treatment. There's treatment of raw water, and then there's treatment of wastewater. And yeah, you know, a lot of people will be like, okay, we have to treat raw water because that's what comes out of our taps. But once it goes down the toilet, nobody wants to know what happens to it, right? It's someone else's problem. But it's more expensive to treat wastewater than it is to treat raw water. And wastewater is actually responsible for higher amounts of carbon emissions than flying in planes. You know, seven to 9% of the world's carbon emissions comes from the methane gas that is released by wastewater. And the majority of wastewater is actually just released into the environment without anything actually being done to it.
Which comes back one full cycle. Absolutely. That's what people forget, right? I think also just the concept of it, you know, when we are moving towards this drive of economic development, everything is really just seen in terms of like, oh, you know, let's get a factory going here. Let's get people employed. Let's have a manufacturing plant. But then simple things like water doesn't seem so important, or sanitation somehow is neglected, right? Because economic progress isn't always measured by important things like this. And maybe now, hopefully, there will be a refocus on it, right? In terms of like, what's really a priority? Not necessarily that your GDP per income improves by leaps and bounds, which it is. I wouldn't say it's not important, but sanitation and water access is probably equally important.
Yes, and if you are, you know, passionate about climate change as well, one of the things that this UN report highlights is that there are missed opportunities in trying to simultaneously address climate change and also increasing clean water, because, you know, it's like I mentioned, your wastewater accounts for a lot of methane gas. So if that methane gas is captured and then utilized, then you are cutting carbon emissions by a good amount. And I guess the other thing that to highlight here when we talk about the access to clean water is that this is not something that happens only in, you know, far-flung other continents. You know, it's something that happens even here in Malaysia. I mean, last year, the former water minister, Dr. Xavier Jayakumar, he highlighted the fact that Kelantan, Sabah and Sarawak still don't have access. Some parts of it still don't have access to clean water. Kelantan because of the flooding that is very common in the area. Sabah and Sarawak because of the rural infrastructure. And plans put in place would mean that, you know, these residents of these states, you know, of the rural areas in these states might get clean water in 5 years from then. You know,
that's a very long wait.
It's such a long wait.
The other thing I think that many Malaysians don't realize is 90% of all our water comes from rainfall. And with this climate change, right, rainfall hasn't been the most consistent. Sometimes it doesn't actually pour on the necessary mm-hmm. catchment areas,
right? A few months ago, we had some of our dams reach the lowest levels in decades or in record.
Yeah. So it has a knock-on effect in terms of availability of water. So I think one thing that we can do is to use less water or be more mindful of it. In Malaysia, water is a very cheap resource. Our bills are not expensive mm-hmm. if you compare it to other countries. But that doesn't mean that you need to waste it. And maybe people just need to be a little bit more careful about how they use water, collecting the water, reusing the water. That's important too. I think also how we use it in our agriculture is important because that accounts for about almost close to 70% of all use of water. New innovation in terms of how we farm has to be thought of carefully.
I remember one time a few years ago, I was in the US and I happened to walk past the TV while this ad was playing, and it was just someone brushing their teeth, you know. And when you brush your teeth, you know, sometimes you leave the tap on, and the ad showed while this person was brushing their teeth and carelessly leaving the tap on, there was another child who looked clearly very poor trying to drink water out of that tap. Because it just goes to show that, you know, what we take for granted is something that other people in other parts of the world have precious little access to. So this is do tell us what you think about this. Of course, you can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We've got some messages coming up for you, and then after that we're taking a look at the front pages of the newspapers, so stay tuned. BFM 89.9, that was Everywhere by Fleetwood Mac, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mark and Wang Xiaoning. Now this morning we're taking a look at the front pages of the newspapers, and I've got both The Star and The New Straits Times in front of me, both unsurprisingly talking about the current movement control order that we are undergoing. So The Star's is boots on the ground, because police and military personnel have been deployed to patrol supermarkets and markets to ensure that the public practices social distancing. And I think there have been quite a number of roadblocks set up throughout parts of at least the Klang Valley that I know of. The weird thing, though, is that we're starting to see reports, and I've heard reports from my family who have had to go through these roadblocks, that the police are stopping you and asking you to wear a mask as well, in addition to just checking why are you out during the MCO.
Well, which the DG of Health has actually come out to say and debunked it, saying you do not need to wear a mask. Only wear a mask if you show symptoms of being ill. Otherwise, there's no necessity for it. And I think this was also in response to a press conference where he was asked by journalists that certain supermarket operators were insisting that you wear one before you're allowed to enter. And his point is, no, we have not instructed anyone to do this. I think it's also a function of the reality that it is hard to get a mask, almost virtually impossible. So if you do impose this, where are people going to get it? And how are they then going to even buy their necessities if they need to? Are we going to create a somewhat unnecessary panic? So there seems to be a bit of misinformation here and there. But I think the DG probably, if you ask me, the DG of Health should have the last say in terms of what people should or shouldn't do.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree with you. And I think this is no fault of the police officers. They're also human beings, and they're also no doubt scared. But it does smack of miscommunication, you know, a divorce between what's being decided at the top levels of government and the police, and what's actually being communicated to those on the ground. And you know, I think a few months ago we were all kind of seeing pictures circulating of the situation in China, where people were using all kinds of things as a barrier for their faces, right? You know, from bottle tops to trash bags, and the sad thing is, it's starting to feel as if we are hitting that point, because I was in a home decor store a few days ago, just before the MCO was imposed, and I heard people asking, you know, looking at the fabric sections and asking, can these be used to make masks? How many masks can I get out of 1 meter of this fabric? And it took me aback, because for me that just hammered home how hard it is to actually just get the surgical masks now. You can't find it, so people are resorting to making their own.
Yeah, so actually the advice is still practice social distancing, keep 1 meter away, wash your hands regularly after you go out. If you need to buy your groceries, which shouldn't be more than once a week, go alone preferably. Once you come home, take that shower, change all your clothes before you get back to your family or give them a little, you know, before you kind of rejoin them.
Yeah.
I think that's the best advice anyone can take. And I see the supermarkets implementing that a lot. So now they're restricting the number of people going into the shops, which is good for everyone. I think, you know, society adjusts, and that's the important thing. And we also accept that these are the conditions imposed on us for our own good, mm-hmm. rather than, you know, why do we need to stay at home? Why can't we go out? I don't think these questions should continue anymore. I mean, it's a known fact, right? Why we need to do this.
Yes, and unless you really, really do need to go out, say, for an essential service to get groceries to help sustain you during the MCO period, you know, if you don't have to do all of that, stay at home. Because it's not just for your safety, it's for the safety of the people around you who may not have the same levels of immunity as you do.
Stay home and listen to BFM. That's our advice for you. But the Malaysian Reserve, their headline, well, because they're a pretty business paper, is Khazanah stocks lose 38 billion ringgit in market value since March 1st. No surprises there. Our KLCI has really taken a tumble, just like the rest of the world. Meanwhile, the other sidebar is GDP growth to dip to 2.5% on COVID-19 and weak oil prices. This is a forecast done by Standard Chartered Bank. I'm not surprised here. Originally, the government's looking at 4%, but that looks like something really hard to achieve at this current moment. The Financial Daily, The Edge, also has a similar headline. More than 700 companies valued at below 100 million on Bursa. A lot of them actually trading below their NTA, net tangible asset. Yeah, there are some bargains to be found, but the fortune favours the brave. It's quite scary times if you're an investor now, because you really wonder, when will all this end?
I think it's quite scary times, regardless of who you are, as long as you are in a country that is being hit by this coronavirus outbreak. And how much scarier is it if you are undocumented? And in addition to the fear of the virus, you are afraid of being possibly deported if you go and to a hospital to get tested. So to try and allay this fear, I think the senior minister, Dato' Sri Ismail Sabri Yaakob, has said that for undocumented migrants, the emphasis is on just coming to get tested. They're not going to be focusing on papers right now. But so we're now heading into the 7 o'clock news bulletin, and after that we'll be bringing you more news and updates, so be sure to stay tuned. But first, here is Let Forever Be by the Chemical Brothers, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.